Thank you, team, for leading us in worship and getting our hearts prepared for what I believe God wants to be said today. And I just actually asked that prayer for myself, that the Lord would open my heart. When we stand up here and we proclaim God's word from Scripture, I don't want any misconceptions that for some reason there might be a guy behind this pulpit that is holy. That's absolutely not the case. In fact, the best sermons are preached by and for topics that actually speak to our hearts. I believe when he opens God's word and we speak from it, we're not speaking just to an audience, but we're speaking to our own hearts, and we're speaking so that we might listen, and that we might be changed, and that we might bring glory and honor as we've done in worship this morning. So I just wanted that proviso this morning before I proceed any further. This morning, I want to speak about a topic that has come to the forefront for me. Over the last couple of months, we've been studying the life of Moses, and one of our topics, I believe Dave Nicholson had to speak about that topic, was the consequences of a hard heart. When we spoke from that particular passage, Exodus 7 to 10, he explained that the reference of heart from Scripture is not that muscle organ that pumps blood through our body. It's more than just a shape or a suit in a deck of cards. The biblical reference to heart from Scripture is the center of one person's or a person's thoughts, emotions, passions, desires. One's innermost character, feelings, and inclination. That's what is referred to in Scripture when the reference is about the heart. John MacArthur describes it as the center of thinking and reason, but also includes emotions, the will, and thus the whole inner being of someone. We learn from that study of hardening the heart from Exodus chapter 7 to 10 that Pharaoh hardened his heart against God, against God's will, and he fought tooth and nail for his own will over what God would want for his people. We know the outcome, that it brought disaster to him and to his country, to everything that was around him. Since that study, God's been directing my heart about heart, directing it to Scripture that references heart, and maybe some of the responsibilities that we have regarding our heart. And what's jumped to the forefront, and I've been going through a couple studies by Steve Andrews, a well-known theologian from the South, and I want to share some of the study material that I found in his studies this morning with you. One of the things that jumped forward to the forefront was guarding or keeping our heart. What does it mean to guard our heart or to keep our heart? John Eldridge, some may know who he is an author and biblical teacher. He's president of Ransom Heart Ministries. And he writes in his book, Waking the Dead, The Glory of a Heart Fully Alive. This is what he writes, and I quote. And he's referencing Fairweather Mountain, which is on the south east coast of Alaska. It's one of the most amazing, spectacular views in our North America. But it's called, it's only seen for about 20 days a year because of the fog. You can only see that view that's spectacular for a short time, a few days during the year. This is what he says, he quotes, as he's referring to this Fairweather Mountain. 20 days a year sounds like my life. I think I see what's really going on about that often. The rest of the time it feels like fog. I'd love to wake up every morning knowing exactly who I am and where God is leading me, where he's taking me, zeroed in on my call and my relationships, my undaunted calling by him. But for so many of us, life is more like driving with a dirty windshield. And I can make out the shapes, and I think the light is green. He goes on to say that the Christian life as described in the New Testament compared to the actual experience of himself and some that he knows is basically embarrassing. He says it's like a young student that's held back a grade. Well, I can relate to that. I can relate to what he calls and speaks of when he talks about the time when we're not really moving forward like we should move. And I think part of the reason why that plagues us so in this North American culture and maybe beyond, I know about this culture, is that we tend to lose some of the truths that God has outlined in Scripture for us, and some of those truths that are outlined in the passage that I want to share together with you this morning. If you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, it can be electronic or it can be a book. I do prefer a book. I don't want to pass on my preference to you, but let's open our books this morning, our Bibles. It's going to be on the board. We're going to read from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 27, we read, "My son," it's the New King James Version, "my son, give attention to my words. Incline your heart to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep with your heart," or "keep your heart with all diligence." In your Bible, if you're in NIV, says, "above all else, keep your heart. For out of it springs the issues of life." And maybe your Bible says, "for out of it is the wellspring of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." There's a lot here in these seven verses. I'm going to try to go through them and look at four principles that King Solomon is wanting to pass on to his son. He wants to pass on his wisdom of what he's gleaned by the Spirit of God in his life and some of the things that he's learned. He wants to pass it on to his son so that wise decisions carry on to the next generation. That's what we would want to do this morning. We want to pass on what God has given to us. Four principles in this text help us in guarding our heart. First of all, we need to recognize the treasure of our heart. Notice that two phrases jump out at us. And I read from the King James and the NIV in both those phrases. One of them is, keep your heart with all diligence, or above all else, keep your heart. And secondly, for out of it springs the issues of life, or out of it are the wellspring of life. To experience God's fullness of our faith and the blessings that God has promised to each one of us, we must recognize the treasure of our hearts. All diligence, or above all else, communicates priority. And the wellspring of life, or springing forth the issues of life, communicates a great promise. The text tells us that, it seems to tell us that the guarding of our hearts is the most important thing we could do. You know, this might be a contradiction to some of us. Contradiction to some of the doctrines that we've listened to and have been preached to us for many years, because we expect to take up our cross. Well, we know Scripture tells us, but I'm not sure that we understand that we're supposed to take care of our heart. I believe that Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 to 27, there's a great paradox in kingdom living. Is it possible that the only way to us to die to self is when we guard our heart? I'm going to just ask you that question again. Is it possible that the only way for us to die to self, have God's way with us in our life, is when we guard our heart. Jesus told us in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30 that we're to love our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. In Matthew 15, the Lord explains that the things that come out of our heart are the things that defile a man. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, the Lord Jesus tells us, "For where your heart is, there your treasure will be also." And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, "The eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling." In other words, the understanding of who God is and what God has in store for you or for you. In the Old Testament, the Lord commands us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, and we use this all the time when we meet as leadership here. This is a verse that we quote over and over, and it's, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding." In Psalm 119 and verse 11, the psalmist tells us, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I will and might not sin against you." And the prophet Samuel tells us in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "For God looks at the exterior, but God looks at the heart." I used to use that verse when I was a young guy. I used to go to a more conservative church that made you wear a suit and tie all the time. And whenever I would get ostracized for being somewhat out of character, I used to quote this verse. I got pretty good at 1 Samuel 16 and 7. I love the fact, but I tell you what, after you understand what that really means, it means, guys, I can't put on a show because who cares what you think of me? What's really important is what God thinks of me. And he looks past this shirt, he looks past these trousers and everything else, and he sees the inner man, the heart and the desires, the passions, the inclinations of where I'm going and what I'm doing with my life, and he sees right past that. This heart is a treasure. And the most significant verse that describes the treasure of the heart is in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Some of us can quote this verbatim off by heart. "If thou wilt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Well, first of all, I want to say something, that before we can even guard our heart, we got to get a right heart. And this is the basis of getting a right heart, to understand that God wants to take our heart. He wants to clean it, clean with his blood. He wants us to have a brand new start, a brand new way that he's planned for us because he's died that we might have life. In fact, some of our verses talk about the fact that his word brings life, and that's one of the life verses, is the fact that if we confess Jesus Christ. So this morning, before we start even talking about how we're going to guard our heart, my question is, has your heart been cleaned by Jesus? That's a starting point. You need to have a new heart. You need to have a starting point with Jesus if our life is going to be anything for his glory and for his honor. Heart is the very center core that allows us to experience what God promises in Scripture as the fullness of life. And it's more than just an emotion. We often reference our heart as being, "I'm led by my heart." And it's more than emotion. But we know that because it can be grieved, it can be troubled, it can be broken, it can be pierced, it can be divided, and it can be joyful. Okay, let's talk about our number two principle. Is prioritizing the task. Now that we recognize that heart is such a treasure, we need to prioritize the task of guarding our heart. If we were to poll church members across Sault Ste. Marie, across our country, even in this building this morning, and we asked them, what are the top Christian disciplines? We'd get answers like, and we'd expect answers like worship, prayer, Bible study, evangelism, all absolutely necessary for us if we're going to live for Christ. Absolutely necessary in the guarding of our heart. But as far as my perspective, and maybe yours, the discipline or command to guard our hearts is seldom discussed or seldom comes up as being a priority of a discipline of a Christian. Maybe we think that guarding our heart is a bit selfish. Maybe the idea of taking care of our heart tends to give us the ability to pursue ungodly decisions or improper decisions just because we have an excuse. We're taking care of our heart. Maybe you know somebody that's used that excuse. You know, I'm gonna leave my wife and my family because God wants me to be happy. And maybe you've heard people say that I'm going to take away my responsibility as a father or as a mother, and I'm going to go find myself because God wants me to find myself. Guarding your heart never gives us the excuse to be irresponsible or selfish. We can't trade in the treasures of the heart for selfish motives. I want to go on record to say that. Striving for one of the most common topics of guarding our heart is striving for moral purity, and moral purity is absolutely necessary. And we're going to talk about that in our next title, Minimizing the Trash. But guarding our heart is more than just protection. It includes pursuing and providing. Guarding our heart is more about feeding your soul than avoiding sin. Verses 20 and 22 tell us that. It talks about inclining our ears to his sayings and don't let them depart from our eyes and keeping them in the midst of our heart and for their life and their health to all flesh. The idea is that we often get stuck on a task that says, I have to avoid this, this, this in my life. And it becomes some legalistic approach to my godly lifestyle as opposed to the fact that leaning into God and his power and making that the source of the reason why I don't have those things in my life. I can't, by my power and my might and my ability, change the way I act. I can maybe do it for some time. I can maybe turn over a new leaf and do things different and be different to people and have different perspectives as far as the important things of life, but it's short-lived when I don't have the power of the Spirit in my life. When our heart is strong, we're able to resist temptations that cause us to stumble and sin. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we read this. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the power of the Spirit in our life. It's a pursuit of doing things different and changing things because someone's changing us, as opposed to me trying to do it at my own speed. Prioritizing the task of making that heart guarding a very, very important thing to us. Let's talk about minimizing the trash. Guarding your heart, it does include seeking God. But we can't ignore the instruction to minimize trash in our lives. Verses 24 and 27, we read, put away deceitful speech or mouth, perverse lips far from you. Look straight ahead and choose the right path. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It talks about all the heroes of the faith. And then it runs into chapter 11. And it runs into chapter 12. And this is what it says. Therefore, because we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, this group of people that have put God first in their life and have made faith a choice of leaning into God and leaning on God and following his plan. Because we're surrounded by this big cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race that's set before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We need to remove the things from our life that weigh us down. You know, in 1999, Jennifer ran the Chicago Marathon. I think I told this story before. But we were in Chicago. It was a cool morning, about 7 a.m. in the morning. And it was in the fall, and there were about 30,000 people lined up at the starting line of the marathon. And they had their hoodies on, and they had their warm-ups, and their pants, and mitts, and earmuffs, and we started off in that race, and as the race progressed, the first mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, all of a sudden you see the clothes come off. If you were to walk behind them and just pick up the clothes, you could have suited up yourself for sports activity for the rest of your life. There were headbands by the side, there were gloves in the ditch, there were pants strewn on a tree, there were hoodies left on the roadway. People were peeling off their clothes to get down to just what they needed, their shorts and their t-shirt, and they were running the race because this stuff was not necessary anymore. It was just weighing them down. And that picture is given to us in Hebrews 12, that we live our life being weighed down by the things in our life that just hold us back, that keep us from moving. You know, sometimes it's not easy to identify what that trash is. Maybe it's not easy to identify the things that hold us back, and some is easier to identify. It's easy to identify moral issues, immoral lifestyles, that's front and center. Impure things that we look at, evil acts that hurt others, our secret sins that we know about, we know are always continuing. Decisions in our life that are in stark contrast to God's plan, in opposition to His Word. But those are pretty easy to identify. Those unhealthy relationships at work with a lady or a man, depending on your opposite sex attraction. Maybe those things that you hang on to that are just not helping your relationship and your marriage. They're not helping your walk with the Lord, and you got to get rid of those things. The first thing that some of the men did in the Old Testament when they took over and had a battle won by the Lord, they knocked down the groves and they got rid of the idols. And we got to do that in our life. Guys, we got to get rid of the idols. Women, we got to get rid of the idols. We got to get rid of the things that are weighing us down, that are holding us back from doing what God wants us to do. Guys, we've got to get away from looking at things that are unhealthy for our relationships. Looking at it, playing with it, seeps into everything we do, and for the next bit, we've got a distorted view of what our relationship with our wife or our girlfriend needs to be, or what is right before God. We've got to get rid of the trash in our life. We've got to identify it, and we got to heave it. We've got to be like those runners in Chicago. I don't need this hoodie anymore. I've got a body temperature of 102, and I'm running for this race, and I don't need this hoodie to keep me warm. There's all kinds of things that we need to identify and drop by the roadside. Well, there's other things that are maybe a little bit less easy to identify. Lack of faith. Unwillingness to forgive. To forgive others. Pride. False beliefs. Bitterness. Those are all things that hold us back from allowing God to do the work in our life and our heart, guarding. We were talking with a group of people and we just said about relationships. And I said, I don't know how, I have a friend that is going through some problems and have an affair. I said, I don't have time to have an affair, first of all. But I think about guarding your heart. I've been in situations, guys and ladies, that I know front and center it's wrong, and if I stuck around there, it was getting me into trouble. And sometimes what you need to do is you need to just flee the fight right away. My dad used to have a saying, this isn't just for young people, this is for old people. He says, there's no fool like an old fool. There's no fool like an old fool. I've got to know where those lines are, and I've got to identify those things in my life that need to be gone, and I need to guard my heart with all fervor and diligence so that I don't allow those things to get a foothold in my life. Maybe it's video games. There's some unhealthy video games. And I don't know much about it because I'm not a gamer. I have no patience to play a video game. But there's some things that are played in the background of music that are satanic. And we allow our kids to have these things, and they're just a regular entertainment. We got to get rid of these things in our life, and we've got to clean that up so our heart isn't a foothold for the devil and evil. Well, all that above is something that we need to address in our life, and trash, big or small, is still trash. We need to take on the challenge that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. He said, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, and he was talking about a group of sins, ungodliness that was in the verses before, If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We need our vessels clean so God can use them. Well, we've talked about getting rid of the trash. Now, our last principle is energized with truth. The fourth principle in guarding our heart. You note the instruction in verse 20. We started off, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." That's reference to divine truth. That's reference to the scripture that we read and we understand are the words of Jesus. The words that have power to make changes in our life. The words that convict us and, through the Holy Spirit, have a way with us as God would have a way with us. Jesus told us that in John chapter 8 that the truth would set us free. You know, we live in a world that opposes truth. Our culture promotes tolerance in place of truth. The text reminds us there is a difference between right and wrong. There is a difference between good and bad. There is a difference between righteousness and evil. We need to know where those lines are. And it's found clearly, front and center in God's word. Verse 26 says, "Level paths have a solid foundation." And verse 27 says, "Evil is unstable and leads to destruction. Keep your foot from evil." Guarding our hearts involves being energized in our life by the transforming power of God's word. There's no other shortcut to it. It says it's sharper, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a word that's alive. The prophet Jeremiah talks about God's word, referencing scripture. He says, God's word is like a fire that burns in a man's heart, from Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. When you think about all those things, we've talked about prioritizing, we've talked about the treasure of the heart. God is very clear in scripture that he's given us this heart for us to use properly. He wants us to guard it. He wants us to make sure that we love him with it, make sure that it's understanding his will. This heart is the eyes of our passions, our desires to live for him. We need to prioritize that task to make it something we do as an ongoing, every day, every week priority. We need to minimize the trash in our life. We've got to sit down and do an honest assessment of the things that are holding us back to having a clear and pure heart. That's what David prayed for. He said, "Lord, if there's any evil way in me, show me. Oh, I want to get rid of it. Create in me a clean heart." And that's what we want, a heart that's directed towards the one who gave his all for us. And we need to energize it with truth. We can't minimize the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, the one who allows us that strength to live for Jesus. We don't do this on our own speed. We don't do this on our own ability. And that power can be found through God's word as we read truth, as we bring in truth. As truth comes in, untruth goes out the back. And that's what we need to do more of. We need to replace some of the things that are our cultural references, and we got to get back to biblical spiritual references, what God plans. And if we're there, then we're where God wants us to be, for his glory and for his honor and for his way in our life. Thinking of some of the situations in our life that challenge us. And I'm speaking to myself right now. When I get up in the morning, I'm asking, you remember that the Blackaby series that we studied a few years back called Experiencing God? One of the things I learned from that is that it's my responsibility when I get up in the morning to commit my day, my time, my affections, my heart, my direction to the Lord. I have a choice. I have a choice to get up in the morning and say, "God, I'll do it my way." And I know that, you know, you've done some major things in my life, but don't take care of this and don't take care of that, because I got control over it. But imagine when we get up in the morning, and I've experienced this, when I get up in the morning and I commit everything to him. I say, "Lord, I'm going to give you it all. I'm not going to give you
5/8 of it. I'm not going to give you 3/4 of it. I'm going to give you it all. And that day goes as a different day than any other day. But we don't do it once for the week. We don't do it once for the month. We do it every day. And that's what we need to do. That's part of guarding our heart, is that we get up with the direction that, Lord, it's all for you. It's all for Jesus. It's our reasonable service, as we hear from Scripture. I present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's the thing that we need to do. It's the reasonable response of a heart that's been cleaned by Jesus' blood and has given up the exceeding riches of his grace in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he can show us what that's all about. Our reasonable, our predictable, or just response of our hearts should be all for Jesus. All for Jesus. Murray and the team, Jeff, are going to come up, and we're going to close with that song. But I'm just going to close in prayer as we get ready for that day. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge from the book of Proverbs for us to be diligent in guarding our heart. Lord, would you convict us this morning of the things in our life that need to change, the things that are taking priority that shouldn't be priority. Lord, we ask again that your word would have its way with us. Your spirit and the power of your spirit would control what we say and what we do, and allow that spirit power to work through us in everything that we do, Lord. And for those that may not know what that is, Lord, that a new heart can be created today by believing in their hearts who you are and everything about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And for us that get cold, Lord, we ask that you'll warm us up as we understand more from this scripture the importance of us to guard our heart for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.